And then she says, honey, take out the garbage.
Don't push me. Can't you see I'm on the edge?
When that happens, people back away and say, whoa, your dad's on the edge. And what happens is we don't fall out of love. We fall out of friendship. Though your life is full, it is empty.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We all want our lives to count for something. Sometimes we think that means adding more activities, more commitments, more responsibilities. Well, today Pastor Wayne is going to show us that the secret of being more effective is often in cutting back, or as the Bible calls it, pruning. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, The Secret of Fruitful Relationships.
Just imagine a fruitful life. Imagine one that's streamlined, that has value to it, and life-giving relationships. You know, the only problem with that is we're surrounded with a society that works against that. Because you see, often we think that the best way is just to accumulate more. That's how we become valuable, when actually that's really the opposite. You see, we think that if we have just a little more than the next person, then we must be a little more valuable than the next person. A little bit more important than the next person. And if a little bit more makes us a little bit more valuable, maybe a little bit more secure, then lots more must make us lots more secure. And so we start to accumulate. We're like that cotton candy that Elwin talked about, which actually is a core, and you just kind of accumulate sugar on it until this thing is huge, but it's just filled with sugar and no content really to it at all. What's the secret of a fruitful life? How do we get streamlined? Because we live in that world that promotes bigger is better. In fact, we have such bumper stickers like, the one who dies with the most toys, what? Yeah, is that true though? You know, it's not always the case. In fact, what happens is when we fill our lives with so much stuff and accumulated things around our core that it pushes us right to the edge. Because for some reason in America, we equate being busy with, oh, he must be important. And if that person has margins and he's not that busy, he must not be that important. So we take up our margins that we used to have a lot of margin, but we now fill it up with stuff and activity, regardless of how noble it might be, until we're right at the edge. And then we walk on the edge, and that's, we think, well, that's how America wants to see us, because I'm busy and I have no margins left. I'm right on the edge. And so that's how we walk. Problem is, friendships are built in the margins. You see, when Anna and I were dating one another, and just before we were married, it was a few years ago, we built friendship in the margins. We took time to be with one another. But after a while, life just kind of accumulates stuff. And then we come home after work and we're just right on the edge because we don't have any margins left. And what happens is we don't fall out of love. We fall out of friendship because there's no margins left. And then she says, honey, take out the garbage.
Don't push me. Can't you see I'm on the edge?
When that happens, people back away and say, whoa, your dad's on the edge. And what it does is it repels relationships. Though your life is full, it is empty, which is accumulated cotton candy. And people steer away. Because more is not always better, as is the case of these three guys going off to college. It was a Portuguese guy and a Haole guy and Japanese guy. And so they went out and bought some, you know, clothes and stuff. So when they came back, I said, what'd you buy? The Holy guy said, well, first thing I had to buy was BBDs, so I bought 5 BBDs. Huh? Yeah, Monday through Friday, you gotta have them. What about you? The Japanese guy said, I buy 7 BBDs. Really? Yeah, not only Monday through Friday, but weekend you need also. And the Portuguese guy smiling, they say, how many did you buy? Portuguese guy said, 12. 12? That's right. For what? January, February. More does not always indicate better. In fact, the Bible tells us that it's true. Let's read at the top of our notes out of John 15, which is a chapter about pruning. And that's what we want to talk about today. Pruning unto fruitfulness, the secret of fruitful relationships. Let's read this. Ready? Go. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. And in John 15, 8, which we will read in a moment, it says, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. God is looking not for people who just know God, but people who follow God. Those are disciples. And it will be proven by not how many branches you have, but by how much fruit you have. What's the secret of fruitfulness? I was in Hilo some time ago, and where I spent 12 years, and I visited a guava farm, and just acres and acres of guava. And because I know that Hawaii is not like the mainland where they have different growing seasons, it's just kind of one season, I asked the farmer, I said, when's the season for guava? He said, when's the season for guava? I said, yeah. I said, when does it bear fruit? He said, oh, the guavas will bear fruit right after we prune them. I said, huh? He said, yeah, whenever we prune them, it's followed by fruit. And I thought, wow, that's profound. You see, that's a secret to fruitfulness in our lives as well, as the Bible teaches in John 15. Would you write in your notes, the secret to fruitfulness is not adding, but wisely pruning. Wisely pruning. We want to talk about streamlining our lives, especially as summer is going on. What a great season to think through some of the excess branches that might be stealing some nutrients that really are not fruit bearing. And what we want to do is change that. If you'll think about it this way, your life is like a tree, let's say with 100 branches. However, there's just enough nutrients or sap that will cause 25 branches to be fruit bearing. But if you don't prune the other 75, it's going to pull the sap to just keep it alive, but it won't bear fruit. But if you'll know which ones are fruit bearing and prune the others, there's just enough sap that those 25 branches will bear luscious and rich and much fruit. If you don't prune, then there's just enough sap to keep them alive, but they won't bear fruit. But the Bible says, my Father will be glorified, not if you have many branches in your life, but if you bear much, what? Fruit. So pruning is going to be a secret to fruitfulness, not adding. My Father's not glorified if we have a lot of branches, if we have much fruit. And so we need to prune, but prune wisely. Because it's so easy to see the Joneses and keep up with this and look at that and prune incorrectly. You've got to prune wisely. In Palolo Valley, where I grew up, my mother had her favorite chili pepper tree. And it was growing right by the corner of our house. And it was kind of a scrawny thing, but man, did it bear chili peppers and hot. Oh, man, it was hot. Well, the only problem is it kind of stuck out from the house. And when I'd be running around the house, running from my brother or something, I'd always whack into that thing. And have you ever kind of pushed or touched chili peppers and then rubbed your eye? Oh, man. So one day after that happened, I said, I'm going to prune this thing. Well, problem is, you know, you can go to Japan and see artists prune trees. But when I do it, it's like a bad haircut. And so I started pruning this thing, unbeknownst to my mother. And when I was done, there's just like this stub sticking out of the ground. And I killed the thing. And my mother came back and she was so mad. It was just a bad thing. And so you got to know how to prune, what to prune to the shape. And so would you write in there the second bullet? Pruning will also shape your life. Pruning will also shape your life. But you've got to prune wisely. What kind of template, what example do you prune to? I mean, do you start chopping? No, you've got to be able to prune wisely. Prune wisely. If you prune incorrectly, what could have been a huge fruit-bearing branch, you chopped off. Why? Because I didn't like the shape. No. You just don't shape it according to what you think. Well, what do you shape according to? Jesus says, you shape your life according to the Bible. You clean your life up according to the Bible. fact, let's read what it says here in this verse under the second bullet. Ready? Go. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. The scripture says, as you read the Bible, like a Polaroid picture, his will, his design for you, what he shaped you to be, designed you to be as a woman of God, wants you to be as a man of God, begins to unfold through the pages of reading the Bible. And as you're reading, and that's why, by the way, devotions are so incredibly important. As you journal in your journaling, you'll look at this and you'll say, wow, God, you know, I see how you think and respond to this problem. And Lord, I don't respond that way. I'm not that kind of person. Please change me. Help me to prune my life and shape it according to what I'm reading. See, otherwise, you're going to prune according to the Joneses. You're going to shape your life trying to follow after TV or celebrities. And then it's going to go wrong because then you're going to look like celebrities or trends that change every other year. Just coming back from Japan, you'd be surprised how in the Shinjuku area, I mean, how some of them dress is just crazy. There's one guy was walking around with his doctor's uniform and the stethoscope and his hair is hanging out, one red and one green. He looked like a Christmas tree at Queen's Hospital. It was just crazy. And then I saw another guy, he was pierced. Every part of his face was perforated and with these holes and things. I mean, he looked like he got into a fight with 8 staplers and lost. And you know, and so I think, what in the world? Where do they get this kind of thought of that's how they want to look? And then I remember, American TV. You see, with ER, emergency room, and all of these things, that becomes sort of like our heroes. And so they dress like that because that's the way they think life should be shaped. Or they'll see rock and roll or heavy metal or Ozzy, you know, the family dysfunctional on TV. And they go, oh, that's what I need to do. And start click, 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 and start stapling their head. Because that's what they think. And God is saying, no, be careful how you shape. And it's not according to the world or the Joneses or television or Hollywood. But you shape your life according to the word of God. And as I reveal my plans for you, my design for you is to be a woman of God. Because I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Not plans for calamity, but for welfare, that you might have a future and hope. I've designed you in a certain way. That's what I want you to prune to. And I'm going to reveal that as you read my word. And as you journal, you say, that's what I need to be, God. And I'm not going that way. I need to prune this and shape my life to what your word is telling me. Otherwise, you shape incorrectly. You'll go after other things. And then you might be lopping off what would have been a wonderful fruit-bearing branch. As I said, I lived in Hilo for a while and I got interested in these bonsai trees, you know, and how you shape trees. And so we paid this registration fee at the Civic Center because this very well-known bonsai master was coming to take like this bushy azalea and show us how to shape the thing. And so we paid money and I think 20, 30 bucks. And so there's about maybe 50 of us in a room and we're waiting. And on this table in front was this azalea bush. And then right about before the time to start, here comes this kind of round, elderly Japanese man, and he's got 2 holsters. And you know how like Western movies have like 6 guns in them? This is true story. He had pruning shears, 1 in each, like holsters. And he came walking in, you know, and just looked at us and, boys, I must, about everybody, oh. And then he said, I show you how shape a tree. So everybody watch. And then I can't remember his name, so we'll just call him Mr. Miyagi. And so we're all watching, and the first thing he does is he starts just looking at this tree. And he turned it. He keeps turning. 20 minutes. And I'm thinking, I paid good money for this. And after about 20 minutes, it was like he was hit by lightning because he straightened up. Like, yosh! And he takes out his pruning shears. No joke. And he starts pruning. Whack, 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 whack. And little branches are flying all over the place. Whack, 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 whack. And we're just mesmerized watching this guy. Whack, 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 whack. And then just before our eyes, the most beautifully shaped sort of asymmetric tree, it just develops right before our eyes. And he's done. And people just clap. Yeah! And they pick up brochures and leave. And I am just stunned. I'm sitting there in my chair. I go, this is amazing. So I walked up to him afterwards, and he's cleaning some stuff. And I said, excuse me, Mr. Miyagi. I said, why did you just take like 20 minutes to look at this thing? And he looked at me and said, very good question, Grasshopper. He said, first of all, you must find, before you start to creep and prune, before you start, you must find front of tree and back of tree. Did you know that there was a front of tree and a back of tree? What? But it's true. Isn't that right? You bring your Christmas tree home, and what do you do for the first 20 minutes? Oh. Isn't that right? There is actually a front of the tree and a back of the tree. And then he said, when you find front of tree, next you look inside, because in every bush, beautiful tree exists, but you cannot find because branch go achi-kochi everywhere. But you first must find inside. Every tree has all unique shape, but you never start prune till you find shape of beautiful tree for that one. Otherwise, you cut wrong branch, make ugly. So you must look fast. Once you see, then you start pruning to vision. And I thought, oh, Mr. Miyagi, that's profound. And I thought, that is the truth in our lives. You see, if you've got the wrong vision, you're trying to stay up with the Joneses. You're pruning incorrectly to God's vision for you. Where do I find that? In the Word of God. That's what the Bible says. I will tell you how to prune. I will show you what branches to cut if you'll follow me, because I'm the vine dresser, the scripture says, but I'm not going to just push you aside and prune. No, we do this together. I will show you. You prune, because it's going to be a partnership, and I want your heart. I want your partnership. I want your cooperation. We do this in tandem. But you don't look at the Joneses. You don't look at the television here, this or that. We do that. Our family or our life is like a bush. We run over here and we look at our kids and compare it to another kid. Oh, my child not smart like you. You're very smart. I want you be smart like him. And you play good football. Mine, he play junk football. I want you play football like him. And this wife here, oh, she's so sweet and Japanese and kind, and you howdy. You come like her. You come like her. And then you look at your, oh, very ugly family I have now. And we leave a stump because we pruned incorrectly. And we do that. And God is saying, I have given you the Word of God that as you read through this and journal, I will begin to show you what's unique to you, because this is called the Word of God. And He speaks to you. And then you begin to prune and shape your life according to His design. And the Lord says, I will point out what you need to prune, but you'll need to do it. Well, what do I prune, Lord? How do I do it? Well, number one, would you write down? Here's the first thing. You prune. Remember, your life is like a tree with 100 branches, only enough sap for 25 of those branches to be fruitful. And you've got to find which of those branches are. And the only way to get that sap to those and not have it taken up in others is you got to prune these. So which ones do we prune? Here's the first the Bible talks about, and that's dead works. Would you write that in? Dead works. What? Works are activities that bear no fruit. They're dead branches. They'll take up the sap of your life, that it will give nothing in return. It just takes up energy and time and investment and no fruit. Let's read what John 15:2 says. Ready? Go. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Hebrews 6 talks about, as he continues to give a little bit more detail and context, He's going to talk about six elementary principles of Christ that need to be foundational principles. I mean, just foundational. Like first grade stuff, remedial. You need to have that like no-brainer. And it says here that the very first of these six will be a thing called dead works that we need to take out of our lives. Let's read that scripture. Ready? Go. Therefore, leaving the elementary teachings about Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works. Would you underline that? Repentance from dead works. That's the first in the list of six. That Bible says this. Now listen carefully. Here's what he's saying. You will not be able to press on to maturity or fruitfulness if you are struggling with foundational elementary principles of Christ. Therefore, leaving these foundational principles, let's press on to maturity. And the first one you need to make sure it's in place, it's foundational, not struggling with it, is repentance from dead works. What's that? Activities in our life that bear no fruit. And you can't struggle with it. Just snip it off. A relationship that's not bearing any fruit. Well, what kind of stuff? Well, it's excessive television, let's say, for example, where you just watch that hours and hours upon end and you're just brain dead. It's like you got a dial tone going through your head for 6 hours. And when it's done, you've invested 6 hours in nothing, excessive movies, not going to movies or watching television, excessive stuff like that. Excessive time on Nintendo or Sega, where you're just doing this for hours on end. It eats up after a while. You add them up over 4, 5, 6 years. They took about 2 years of your life. So what it's doing is taking sap and putting it into nothing. God says pruning that stuff should be a no-brainer. See, if you're struggling with that, yeah, but I want to. And the Lord says, you'll never move on to fruitfulness because you're struggling with, should I prune that dead branch? I don't know. I kind of like it. It's dead. It's not producing any fruit and never will. God says, that should be a no-brainer. That's off. Don't give it a funeral. Don't cry over it. Don't mourn. Just done. He says, take it away. Throw it in the fire. It's basic. If you're struggling with that, you'll never move to fruitfulness. Sort of like a guitarist. If he wants to lead worship and learn guitar, he can't be struggling with basic chords like G or C chord. Otherwise, he'll say, okay, let's sing the song. Ready? Oh, chotamate, wait. You got to put this finger right here, this tink right here. Let me try. Okay, now sing. Okay, wait, one more chord. Let me see this one over here. Okay, I think like that. Okay, let's try again, okay. Well, you'll never sing the song because you're struggling with basic chords. Those chords should just be automatic, no-brainer. This just has to be there. Then you can sing the song. See, a lot of times we're saying, how come I can't sing the song? Because you're struggling with basic chords, basic principles. And you've got to get them down. And one of them is repentance from dead works. If it's not going to bear any fruit, boom, it's off. Don't struggle with it. Don't fight over it. Don't mourn over it. You've got to be able to do that. Because, see, no one's going to do that for you. If you want to keep all those branches and sucks all the nutrients out of your life just to keep it there, then you'll never be fruitful. But by this is my Father glorified. Not that you have a lot of branches on your tree, but that you bear much. So you need to know how to prune so that that sap goes to the fruit-bearing branches.
Family, you are my family. Jesus, He is our Lord. And I'm so glad He's called us here together, and I'm so glad that the Father is our God. Family, you are my family. Jesus, He is our Lord. And I'm so glad He's called us here together, and I'm so glad that the Father is our God. And I'm so glad He's called us. us here together. And I'm so glad that the Father is our God.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled The Secret of Fruitful Relationships by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Tomorrow, Pastor Wayne will show us how to cut back some unhealthy areas of our lives, unhealthy habits, obsessions, and especially sin, in order to develop lives that are bearing fruit for the kingdom of God. For Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord, and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.